In Psalm 40, we looked at last week of celebrating your spiritual freedom and what God has done for us. And we sang this morning what he's done, that he set us free and because of the cross of Calvary and all these things. So let me ask you this. Next slide. Is this, you know, we see big billboards, Christ is Lord, and I rejoice. I mean, I love seeing big billboards like that because it's at least one way to get the message out, to give glory to Christ. So we see, you know, billboards like that. We see even things during the Super Bowl that he gets us, you know, advertisements. I'm not endorsing those. I don't agree with kind of all the ways that that was presented. But to say that that's another way, advertisement, big Super Bowl spot. Who knows how many millions they had to pay for that. Across, you know, some that are at the beach this weekend will probably see a little plane flying across, you know, right along the beach and advertising something. Maybe Geico, who Matt works for, you know, Geico, save insurance with Geico or whatever. Some have even asked, you know, their girlfriend to marry them, buy a banner in that way. Some may even say, you know, Jesus loves you. I mean, there's ways that can be very public and kind of like, wow. But I want to ask you, how many of you would say it was a billboard that God used specifically in my life to bring me to a saving knowledge of him? It was a billboard that I saw that's what it was. I mean, there may be. Anybody? What about a Super Bowl ad, a TV advertisement? You say, yep, there was that advertisement that I can think back, and that is what really brought me to the point of salvation and giving my life to him. Anyone? How about a banner flying across the beach? You're laying out there and having a good time and getting some rays, and then you just see the banner like, that's what I need. I need to accept Christ. Okay, how many of you, you'd say God used someone or maybe some people that as they lived out their life, Christian life before me, as they gave praise to God, as they went through difficult times but still gave glory to him, I can think of some people that God used in my life to help me to come to the point of giving my life over to Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand? Raise them real high. All right, now look around. And that's the message of Psalm 40. There are a lot of ways that we can bring glory to Christ. There are a lot of ways that we can talk about Christ. But the most effective way, all the way back in Psalms, all the way back in the time of the Old Testament in King David, is really to proclaim God in delight, to live a life that says, this is what God has done for me, and I can't hide it. I can't keep it within me, and I want to talk about it. I want to live it out. I want to show this. So let's jump in here in Psalm 40. Again, this is a continuation. So let's look at Psalm 40 and verse 2, a little bit of review from last week. David says this. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, another idea or word for that is clay, out of the miry bog or muddy pit, set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. And then he says, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And so as David then, as we go into kind of this part of the psalm where he proclaims God in delight, he's excited about what God's done for him, and he's not ashamed of it, he doesn't hide it. And first of all, I think we see in verses 4 and 5, one of the results of this is that as we praise God, as we rehearse what God has done, and as we talk about that, as we sing about it, as that's the topic of conversation around the table, or maybe over a coffee, or whatever it may be, it points ourselves to the Lord. It reminds even ourselves of the importance that Christ plays in our life, and how we should humbly look to him. So look at Psalm 40 and verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes who his trust. Okay? Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. So David, again, is calling us back to the attention of you need to put your trust in God, and then you'll be able to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. This isn't about a prosperity gospel, but it's about fulfilling the purpose that God has given us as his children. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud. He's not the one that says, no, I've got this on my own. I'm a pretty smart dude. You know, I'm a pretty smart gal, and I can kind of figure this out. And any problems that I've faced in my life so far, I've been able to get myself through that. I'll never forget one of the first times that I met a guy named Maced who was built. I mean, he looked like a bulldog. I mean, he was just that built. And he came to a Christmas open house, and he was sitting. I can remember the night. He was sitting in front of me. I had no idea that at that point that he was legally blind, because he was still, he could still kind of get around. He'd walk with his wife and his daughter. I'd seen him on the road before, driving a motorcycle even. As I think back on that, I didn't even know how he did it, but he would just drive his motorcycle on that street. Later I learned it's because he couldn't go other places for fear of having an accident. But he always looked so serious and kind of really just mean. But he came that night and he looked at me and says, "I've never had to ask anybody for anything." He said, "But then I lost my eyesight. And now I realize that I need something." It was a couple months later, at the end of a service, we were using our upstairs room for our church, you know, meetings, and in the upstairs room of that house, at the end of the service, I opened it up for questions, and Maced was said in front of everybody else, we had about 30 there, he raises and he says, How can I know this Christ as my Savior? And that night, in front of everybody else, he accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Because Maced, built, bulldog, mean Maced, realized, I need someone. I've come to a point in my life that I can't figure my way out of this. And so we see here that, yeah, it points ourselves to the Lord. Blessed is a man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. Now notice verse 5 and how many times the psalmist says you or our or my, and he's reminding himself as he writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we have to depend on God. Notice this. You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. And then he just says in response, I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. So as we rehearse these things, first of all, it reminds even ourselves, and we're kind of preaching the truth to ourselves, that I need to depend on God, and this will help me to trust in Him as I recall these things and praise God for these things. Secondly, it's not just to point ourselves to the Lord, but it's also to propel ourselves for action, to propel ourselves to serve the Lord. It's not about just singing and saying something, but it actually translates into, how will this change my life? How will it change my actions? Notice in Psalm 40 and verse 6, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you've given me an open ear. Now it's interesting in the Hebrew, the wording that's used for that, it actually indicates that God has like carved out an ear, has like bored into the body. And interesting, when this reference, and we'll look at this in a few minutes, but when this reference is translated in the New Testament and quoted as it relates to Jesus, the wording there is body. So the idea is that God has done a work in us that we can't do ourselves, but has done a work in us to help us to be responsive to Him as we listen to Him, as we present our body to Him. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. What? That's interesting. What is written of David? Well, I think it may be a reference back to Deuteronomy chapter 17, when God says, when you call a king, when you elect a king, this is the type of king that you should choose to lead the nation of Israel. Here we see in Deuteronomy 17:14. When you come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you possess it and dwell in it, and then say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You may indeed set a king over you whom the Lord your God will choose. One from among your brothers you shall set as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he must not acquire many horses for himself or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses. Since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. He shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book, notice, a copy of this law approved by the Levitical priest. And it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to do what? To fear the Lord his God by keeping So this is not just saying and singing, but by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart, verse 20, may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. So I think as David is saying this, hey, it's written in the book, it's written in the scrolls, I believe he's indicating, I'm doing my best to fulfill the type of king that God said you should call to lead the nation of Israel. One who has a heart for God, one who is going to follow him. And so notice then what he says in Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to do what? I delight to do your will. He's already said, I will proclaim. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to restrain my lips. I'm going to proclaim these things. But now he says, I not only am I going to proclaim it, I will do your will. I want to serve you. I want to act this out. And he says, oh my God, your law is within my heart. Many of us have heard the phrase, you know, it's easy to talk the talk, but it's not so easy to walk the walk. And that's the idea here, is that our worship should be authentic, but it should lead us to a point where we live that out. It's one of my great burdens and concerns for modern day Christianity, at least here in America. And I know this is true in Brazil also, as we live there. But unfortunately, so many people are looking for an experience. And they maybe wait all week, and they come and they want an experience. They want this feeling. They want to kind of have a show. And I'm not talking about, you know, music preferences. But instead of authentically worshiping and then living that out the rest of the week, they come, they see the show, they say goodbye, and then the rest of the week's not a whole lot different than anybody next to them. And that can happen in this room. It's not because of the songs we sing and the way that I preach that's going to make the difference. This is in you. This is in your heart. As you worship, are you going to walk that way? Are you going to live out your worship? It's interesting, some of the phrases that, and every culture has this, we have this in English too, but as we were learning the culture in Brazil, this kind of brought us sometimes to laugh. Barbara is going to be able to identify with some of these things. If João were here, he'd be able to identify also. But there's some phrases that were said, and we even begin to say some of these phrases ourselves, knowing full well that we didn't fully mean them. Here's some of them, okay? Aparece em casa dia desse. That means, come hang out at our house one of these days. Aparece em casa. Come hang out at one of our house one of these days. And so sometimes I was tempted to say, okay, what about tomorrow? Oh, well, yeah. I don't know about that. Another one, vamos fazer um churrasco juntos logo. Let's do a grill out, you know, together real soon. Tonight? Well, I mean, not that soon. I mean, just, you know, sometime, you know, vamos fazer um churrasco. And another one, se Deus quiser, eu vou sim, which means if God wants, if God desires, I'll go. And sometimes I actually did say to some of the people in our church, no, God wants you to. So if God wants, well, that question's already settled. So, then be here. But sometimes we sing that way to God and we say things to the Lord that we don't really intend to live out. We sing the phrases, we go through the motions. Some of the examples would be kind of like this. This morning we sang, hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. But you know what's easier to live out? Hope has a name. His name is my advisor, my boss, my boyfriend, my parents, etc. So we sing, hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Do we agree with that? Amen? Let's try it again. Do we agree with that? Amen? Yes! But it's easier to live out. Man, hope has a name, and it's my boss, it's my advisor at school, it's my girlfriend, my boyfriend, or you put someone else's name in it, and that's sometimes how we live out, even though we've sung something differently. We sing, what he's done, all the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven, my future is in heaven. I praise God for what he's done. But it's much easier to live out this, what he's done, some of the glory and honor to the Son. My struggles have risen. My future's in question. I pray God will do much more. We sing one thing, but yet it's easy to live out something very, very different. We sang this morning, hallelujah, hallelujah, all glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hands high, heart full of praise, but it's easier to live out, hallelujah, hallelujah, at least some of the glory to my name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hand out and heart full of praise. So we sing some things, but we don't always live them out. So some of you may say, well, Pastor, I can solve that. I just won't sing. Well, that's not the answer. Okay, don't just say, okay, I'm not even going to sing. No, sing, but then as you sing and as you go out through, you know, the afternoon, Sunday night, and as you listen to music on the radio, and hopefully it's Christian music that's edifying you, as you listen to that, and maybe as you sing along, then pray, God, help me not to just sing this, but help me to do it. Help me to do your will. Help me to, this would propel me to action and to serve you. Now, David was a great king of Israel. He had some really big lows, though, right? I mean, he was also a sinner. There's some very embarrassing times of his life, but he was used of God. But who is a greater, who was and is a much greater king than King David? King Jesus. And we sang about him again this morning. We sang about him being our king. So Hebrews takes this passage from Psalm 40, translates it, and we have it here in Hebrews 10, 5 through 7. It says this, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I, Christ, have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. So David gives us some example, but Hebrews says, you know what? Much greater than King David is King Jesus, who came, he worshiped his Father, even in the difficult times, the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, yet not my will be done, but yours be done, O Father. So the next phrase that you'll see on the screen is this, authentic worship will and should at least lead to an authentic walk. Authentic worship will lead to an authentic walk. I hope that you get into the singing. And get into the singing doesn't mean that you have to raise your hand or have to even sing like, you know, way louder than anybody else. But I hope that it stirs within your heart an emotion, you know, response and then a life response to him. But I pray that much more than just this, you know, 15, 20 minutes of singing, that then this afternoon and Monday and Tuesday and the rest of this year, you will live it out. Say, I want to be like King David, but even more than that, I want to be like Jesus, my King, and say, God, I'm here to do your will, and I want to live this out. And then we see as we do that, this is going to point other people to Christ as well. We're going to point ourselves to the Lord. It's going to propel us for action to serve him, but then it's going to point others to the Lord. We see this in Psalm 40 and verse 9. David says, I have told the glad news of deliverance. And this is kind of an Old Testament phrase that is very close to the idea of good news or gospel that we see in the New Testament. So I have told of the good news or the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained, David says, my lips, as you know, O Lord. Verse 10, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. So you get this idea that David is like, man, I could not hide this if I wanted to. I mean, it's so powerful within me. I can't restrain it. I can't hide it. I can't conceal it. And I'm going to proclaim it to everybody. Something that came to mind as I was studying this passage is how my dad is with gifts. He has an extremely difficult time keeping a gift until the day that that gift is supposed to be given. I'll give you an example. Michael's birthday was just a week and a half ago or so, August 20th. But back in April was when my dad actually told him what his birthday gift was going to be. Came upstairs and says, hey, Michael, you've been talking about that new, you know, pellet rifle. I bought it for you. And we're like, Dad. He said, I just want him to know. I just want to know that in August, it's going to be his. And so from April all the way to August, Michael knew, well, August 20th, this is what I'm going to get. And it was exciting. Kim has not even had her birthday yet. It's about 6 weeks away. Do you know when my dad gave her birthday gift? About 3 weeks ago. And even before that, he told her, this is what I want to give you, and let's go get it now. And we're like, Dad, I want her to have it now. And I pray that we are so thankful and that God has done such a work in our life that we will be kind of like that. That I want to tell you about this because I can't keep it back. It's just inside of me, and I cannot, as David says, I can't hide it. I can't restrain my lips. I have to speak. I have to tell of the deliverance, faithfulness, salvation, and steadfast love. So the question then this morning is to you and for me, when is the last time that you told about that? Who is the last person that you spoke of what God is doing for you and has done and his deliverance and his faithfulness and his salvation? And if you sit there and think, Pastor, I'm not sure. That's a problem. Because as the more that we praise God ourselves, it's going to remind us, I shouldn't be with the proud. I can't do this on my own. So I have to point myself back to Christ. And as I rehearse and think about all that God's done, has done for me, and is doing for me, then like David, man, I should be telling people who are around me. My neighbors should know that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Those that I work with should know that person is a follower of Jesus Christ. My classmates should know. Those that I play on a ball team with. I've tried to be more faithful with this recently. Even the waiters and waitresses at our restaurant should know this person at this table, they are followers of Jesus Christ. And we should be like David. We can't hide it. If you have hidden it, then the question is, why? Is it not... Have you not rehearsed it enough? Are you not praising God enough that you just keep it quiet? And hopefully you'll be again like David, who says, none can compare with you. And I will proclaim these things. And there's even more that I can't even tell. There's so much that I can't even tell about God. Notice Psalm 40 in verse 3. The response or the result of this. I think it's the next slide. Yep, okay, here we go. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and do what? And put their trust in the Lord. This is a promise. Salvation decisions are not my responsibility. My responsibility is as I share that, as I give praise to God, as I live out my authentic worship in an authentic walk, then the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, the God of 2024 says this, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So as we proclaim God into light, there will be those that will respond to that and will come to know Christ, just as some of you raised your hand earlier and says, yeah, I can think of people that God greatly used in my life to bring me to a saving knowledge of him. God wants to use you in the same way with people around you. All right, lastly in Psalm 40, we see praying to God in dependence. Praying to God in dependence. Now, up to this point, if you don't know a whole lot about David, you might think, well, David's kind of on another level. He was the king of Israel. I mean, he had a lot at his disposal. And David, sure, it was easy for him to praise God. But if you do study the life of David, and if you read some of the other psalms that he's written, then you know, and even the rest of this psalm, you know David had some extremely discouraging times and difficult times in his life. You might be reminded in 1 Samuel 30 where it says that David was greatly distressed. He wasn't going over a little speed bump. I mean, he was facing an insurmountable mountain. His friends, his wives and children, the wives and children of his fellow soldiers had been taken, the village had been burned, and he comes back. Those who were with him were kind of wanting to stone him and get rid of him. And David was greatly distressed. But notice what David does in the next few verses. He prays to God in dependence. He goes back to the Lord and he shares some things openly. And this is one of the beautiful things about Psalms. He doesn't hide the difficulties that he faces. Notice with me in Psalm 40, verse 12, one of the things we see is our problem as sinners. Our problem as sinners. And I won't do this because I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to humiliate you. But if I were to ask you how many of you are sinners, every one of us should go like this and put both hands up and say, definitely. And our problem as sinners is outlined here in verse 12. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. There's a couple things that I see, kind of categories in this verse. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. So challenging circumstances. The world that we live in is not an easy world to live in. We live in a broken world. Would you agree with that? Can you say yes or amen? Do you agree with that? Amen. Of course. We live in a broken world. And so David says, the evils have encompassed me. I mean, this is not an easy place to live. And in Metro Atlanta and other places that you have lived or will live, you could say, this is not an easy place to live. There's sickness, there's hardship, there's betrayal, there's sin. So David says there's challenging circumstances, but then he goes on, my iniquities. He doesn't just say evils now have encompassed me. He says, no, my iniquities, my sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. Because David's a sinner, because you're a sinner, because I'm a sinner, there's going to be times, unfortunately, that we will choose sin. So you have challenging circumstances, but David's saying here, no, these are chosen sins. I chose these things. I chose to commit adultery with Bathsheba. I chose to kill Bathsheba's husband. I chose, and you can list a number of other things. And if you were to fill in the blank, don't tell us openly, but you could say a lot, and I could say a lot of things. And David says, because of these chosen sins, I can't even see. And as a result of those two things, and we see next, they are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. There's compromised emotions here that, man, now my emotions are all messed up because of the challenging circumstances around me, because of the chosen sins that I have. And now, man, I've got compromised emotions. My heart fails me. Now, probably in your vocab, in your lingo, most of us would not come and if someone were to ask me, you know, hey, Pastor, how are you doing this morning? My heart fails me. But we might say things like, man, I'm so discouraged. Honestly, I just don't know how I'm going to keep going. When will all of this end? Is there any way out? So we see our problems as sinners, but notice in verse 13, David's response to that is to pray. It's just to go to God. And he says, Psalm 40, verse 13, it says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where authentic worship is going to be tested, is will you walk in an authentic way? As you're facing difficulties, as you have challenging circumstances in your life, and as you even face some of the guilt and some of the depth of your own sin, as then your emotions are pulled into that and they just seem like a salad. I mean, they're so mixed. Then who will you run to? Who do you talk to first? In who or in what do you seek hope? We sang this morning, hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. But man, in day-to-day life, when we face some of these things, we are running all over, you know, looking for hope somewhere else. So this is where it's really tested. Who am I going to run to? Who am I going to talk to? Who will I trust in? And David says, God, help me. And make haste. I need your help. We see in the next few verses, he begins to talk about those who are against him. And we see a contrast here. Earlier in Psalm 40, he says, blessed is the man who puts his trust in who? The Lord. The Lord. Okay, blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. Now we see a contrast of people who have not put their trust in the Lord and who are against him and really against God. And we see in Psalm 40 and verse 14, let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. So the contrast, David is reminding himself again of truth, of blessed is a man who puts his trust in the Lord. Those who don't do that, well, they're going to have shame. They're going to have disappointment. They're going to be turned back. They're going to be brought to dishonor. And we need to remind ourselves of that. What seems like success in the world, riches, power, influence, beauty, physical strength, all of these things. If that is the hope, then every person who's hoping in those things will be gravely disappointed because they won't last. So So we need to remind ourselves, our hope is going to Jesus, praying to him, and then we see God's promises in the rest of Psalm 40. Notice Psalm 40 and verse 17. As for me, and again we see a contrast here, as for me, and you'll see the second point, as for you, O Lord. So David's comparing himself with his Lord. He says, as for me, what are some, help me out, what are some common responses? If you were just to ask anybody on the street, you go to Marietta Square, downtown Atlanta, you're going to, you know, maybe go to the Braves game or wherever, and you were saying, tell me a little bit about yourself. Are you generally a good person, or how would some people talk about themselves? Like, well, I am, what do you think? What would be some common responses? Yeah, I'm a good person. Yeah, I mean, think of everybody else. Look around here. I'm certainly not like him or her or them. Look at what David says. As for me, I'm poor. As for me, I am needy. That's not a fun thing to say. Is it? Does that like bolster your self-esteem? Does that make you like feel, man, I've got this? Sometimes as we go to, you know, I even heard this Friday night, went to Mary's volleyball game, and I was sitting next to a dad of one of the girls on the team, and she was up to serve. They were already in extra points. They had to win by two, and she was up to serve, and kind of her serve was going to determine whether the team won or not. And he yelled out, you've got this. And thankfully she did, and they won. But sometimes they don't. And so David says, man, I'm needy. I don't have this. I can't get this done. I am needy. So as far as we're concerned, I hope that we agree with David and we humble ourselves before the Lord and says, I'm poor and I'm needy. And then we see, but as for me, Psalm 40 in verse 11, as for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy for me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. So what are some of God's promises? We're going to go through these pretty quickly. Well, as for you, O Lord, you will offer mercy. That's what David says. You will not restrain your mercy from me. Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our great King Jesus was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. And so now we can come boldly to his throne of grace, and we will, not may, sometimes, if it's still in stock, no, we will receive mercy. It's a promise of God. Secondly, as for you, O Lord, you will show steadfast love. We spent an entire Sunday looking at Psalm 62 and Psalm 63. And in Psalm 63, David says, your steadfast love is better than life. And that's why my lips will praise you, David says. Another promise, you'll show steadfast love. Third, you will keep us secure. And I'm thankful for that. I don't wake up every morning and feel like, man, I am a strong Christian. I am rooted. Nothing can affect me. Sometimes I wake up and I go, oh, God, help me. Help me to keep on the path. Help me to take the next right steps. Help me not to falter here. Help me not to live by my emotions, because right now I'm feeling pretty weak. But it says God will keep us secure. He's the one that will do the work. Psalm 40 and verse 17, as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord, again, a contrast, as for me, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O God. So what are some more promises? Well, as for you, O Lord, you will think about us. I sat with a group of Bangladeshi students Friday night. There were about five guys and about two girls. And one of the questions, the discussion questions is, what is love and what does love mean? And one of the Bangladeshi guys says, well, I think love means if you miss someone. And since I've been here for about a month, I really miss my mom. I thought, well, that's good. That's a part of love. Yeah, if you miss that person, isn't it cool to think about God Almighty and the Lord thinks about us? He thinks about little, measly, poor, and needy David Huffman. And you can put your name in the slot. He thinks about us. It's a promise that we have. He will deliver us, it says. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. So the response to this we see in Psalm 40:11 and then also Psalm 40:16. Psalm 40:11, as for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy for me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. So this is the deal. If God, if the Lord, will not restrain these promises, his mercy, his steadfast love, keeping you secure, all of these promises, he said, you know, you're not going to restrain these from me. So our response should be, I should never then restrain from God my praises to him. If he's not going to restrain his blessings and he just keeps giving those promises to me, then I should continue to give praise to him. And we see this in Psalm 40 and verse 16. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, what are the next three words? Or four words. What are the next four words? Okay. So can we say that together? Here we go. Great is the Lord. Let's do it again. Great is the Lord. All right. Now I'm going to give you an opportunity to not only say it, but to sing it again. All right, so praise team, come on up. We're going to finish by singing what he's done all over again. And I hope that as you sing this, it'll have a little bit more depth, a little bit more meaning as you think about how God has freed us, how he's delivered us. We're celebrating our spiritual freedom in him. And I pray that this song will be a good reminder of his love for all of us.